Now, we're going to look at the second reading, which is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11 to 14, and then skips a few verses and goes to verse 18. It's about the priest ministering every day, and then the definitive sacrifice of Christ. And so, it fits into the theme of definitiveness, even though is moving its own way. As I think you know, the letter to the Hebrews is modeling itself on the liturgy of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement is the day in which Jesus, in an act of love, died. That's what he's talking about now, you see. So the text goes, and while every priest stands ministering every day, and offering the same sacrifices often, which can never remove sins, he, having offered one sacrifice for sins, in perpetuity, took his seat at the right hand of God. From now on, waiting until his enemies be placed as a footstool for his feet, for by one offering he has made perfect in perpetuity those who are being sanctified. Now this beautiful text, which is also a definitive text, as are the others we're having for this Sunday, 33rd Sunday. You see, it contrasts the repetitive nature of the Jewish sacrificial system, which is brought to completion, definitive completion, never to be repeated, of the sacrifice, the act of love in which Jesus died. Now, you must remember that the Jewish sacrificial system was God's will. He taught them that to prepare them to understand the sacrifice of Jesus and us as well. And so, and the difference is efficacy, as you just heard. You see, every priest stands ministering every day and offering the same sacrifices often, you see. And they can never remove sins. You see, this is why later on, or actually earlier in chapter 9, he talks about that act of love. You see, I can read it for you. I can just recite it for you, I think. Chapter 9. You see, that the blood of bulls and goats and the scattered ashes of a heifer can never remove sin except in a fleshly way, that is, in a human observance way. It cannot really remove sin. But Jesus, who came along and offered himself by the eternal Spirit, that sacrifice can purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Why? Because it's the act of God in a human nature, being moved by the Spirit, as the text says, you see, by the eternal Spirit. I think I've explained this before. Eternal Spirit, that takes the place in the old sacrificial system of the eternal fire. The fire that consumes the victim, makes a holocaust, because it transforms the whole victim and symbolically goes up to God. But Jesus, in the act of love in which he died, is totally transformed and really goes up to God and is with God now and intercedes for us. And that's why he can cleanse our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. He doesn't need a dead service. He needs a living service, which is moved by the Holy Spirit. That's how a service, a prayer, a liturgy, whatever, that's how it's alive. And it has to be alive to serve the living God. And that will cleanse our conscience from dead works. So, having said all that in chapter 9, he's now developing it in chapter 10, where we are now. Every priest stands ministering every day and offering the same sacrifices, which can never remove sins. They can predict it. They can foreshadow it. But the blood of bulls and goats and the scattered ashes of a heifer can never remove sin. Only the Holy Spirit. That's why in one of the prayers we have in the liturgy, we say about the Holy Spirit, ipse est remissio peccatorum. He himself is the forgiveness of sins. When we're forgiven, it isn't that God erases the book. It's that he puts the Holy Spirit in us to replace the sin. He himself is the remission of sin. And that's what this text is talking about, you see. So he then, as it says here, offered one sacrifice for sins, and perpetuity took his seat at the right hand of God. That's, you know, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. And you are a priest forever. And your priesthood is intercession. You are there before the Father, showing him forever the beauty of the wounds you received in this life out of love for us. And that's why we're on our way to an eternal life. See, from now on, waiting until his enemies be placed as a footstool for it. What are his enemies? Death, the last enemy. And therefore, as it says earlier in this letter to the Hebrews, he has set free all human beings who by fear of death were kept in slavery to the devil. We're afraid to die. We're afraid of being diminished. Unless we know the beauty and the love and the splendor of the act of love in which he died. And now that he died, you see, offering himself up, we are free. And we have now, you see, he takes away sin. His act can take away and purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. For by one offering, he has made perfect in perpetuity those who are being sanctified. Because once our sins are forgiven, if we continue to yield to the Holy Spirit, we are being more and more brought into the realm of the holy. We are being sanctified, as the text, the word in the text. Huh? You see, we are being made holy. Where do we see that? Look at the saints. Look at them. Look at the love they radiate. Look at the authority they have because of their purity of life and because they are not afraid of death. You see, love for life did not deter them from death, it says, right? That's the power the Lord can give us. Not to be afraid of death or all those little messengers of death. Every little insult, every time we're cut off in traffic, every time we get sick, all these reminders of death. People will do anything rather than lose a job because that's death. If you're not afraid of death, you say, I'm sorry, sir, I cannot do that. That's immoral. Then you're fired. I'm sorry to be fired, but I'm not afraid. You see, it's the fear of death that keeps us a captive. And so, now the text goes on. The Holy Spirit testifies to us for having said, this is the covenant which I will covenant with them after those days. And that is because that's one of the keys in the whole letter to the Hebrews, is that text in Jeremiah 31. This is the covenant which I will covenant with them after those days, the Lord says, giving my laws upon their hearts and upon their minds, I will write them. And their sins and their iniquities, I will not remember anymore. That's the new covenant. And that's why Jesus says at the Last Supper, this is the new covenant in my blood. This new covenant, which we celebrate every day at the liturgy, this new covenant, which we celebrate in all the sacraments, you see, it is in the blood of Christ, and it takes away sins, you see. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer offering for sin. We don't need to repeat. Now, our Protestant brothers say, well, you are repeating. No, there is one sacrifice. And it is never repeated. It is made present, but it's not repeated, because it is Jesus himself fixed in the act of love in which he died, present to us to be our forgiveness, our enlightenment, our very food, until the day when we die, and that presence of the Eucharist in us over all these years makes the guarantee that we will never be corrupt forever. We'll be corrupt for a time, depending on when the Lord ends the world, but we will never be corrupt forever, because we have received the life-giving, life-transforming, totally transformed body and blood of Jesus Christ, made so, as I just quoted to you, when he offered himself by the eternal Spirit, and the Spirit took over his whole being and brought him right through to the throne of God, radiant and glorious, so that God has a physicality now. And that's what this man is celebrating, you see? Because I won't remember their sins anymore. I will do, through the sacrifice of my Son, what I promised to do in the prophecy of Jeremiah. And that's why he takes so much time over this act of love in which the Lord dies. You see? I'm just going to quote for you now a couple of texts from other places, especially chapter 7 of Hebrews, where the same thing is talked about. Now, if perfection had been attainable through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need would there have been for another priest to arise after the order of Melchizedek? For the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, a better hope is introduced through which we draw near to God, you see. And this is what he's already described. That act of love in which Jesus died introduced a whole new covenant. This is why every day at Mass, this is my blood of the new covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many. Many meaning the many, the community. Poured out for anybody who wants to join that act of receiving the blood, that is, join the Christian community. It's poured out for the many. The many is anybody. It's not a restricted the many, and you hope you're part of the many. No. You're part of the many if you want it. It's offered to you. And so that's what he's saying here, you see? Whereas those sacrifices of olden times, they could not perfect the conscience of the worshiper. They couldn't remove sin. Sin is an aberration, a turning from God. That's why, as that prayer said, which I've already quoted, the Holy Spirit himself is the forgiveness of sins. We're turned back to God. We worship God as Father. We love him. We obey him. And we can be so captivated by him that we are, in this life already, transformed into Christ by the Holy Spirit. That's the goal of life. The goal of life isn't to make money or be smart or have power. God knows it's not the goal to run the world according to my own lights and be their Savior. And they recognize me. And that justifies whatever I want to do. No. Salvation is the presence of the Holy Spirit moving us with delight into infinite and eternal union with God. Infinite because it's union with God. All right?